He began to backpedal slowly, hoping that he would not trip on an unseen root or weed on the floor, leaving him vulnerable on the ground. With each step, the woods grew lighter, and as he neared its edge, the light from outside bathed its interior in a bluish hue. He did not take his eyes off the large sycamore trunk, where that shadowy figure seemed to be hiding, not for one moment. It was peculiar, but an overpowering sense of safety out in the open dominated his thoughts. Normally a person feels exposed and vulnerable in the open wilderness, but not Robert, at least not in that situation. As he edged slowly toward the grassy plain outside, the subtle, foreboding sound of leaves rustling and swaying almost in anger progressed into a crescendo of noise. But there was no wind to gust, no breeze to disturb. There was only one conclusion to be reached. Something was moving towards him. And then he was outside, out of the woods, away from whoever had been following. No, not following, stalking him. Robert was not a superstitious man. You could not afford to be when camping alone in such remote locations. As the mind tends to play tricks, twisting the benign sounds of nature into something much more malevolent, but regardless, he did not wish to stay around long enough to find out who his unwanted companion in the woods had been. Dropping all but the sturdiest piece of wood, which he reckoned would make a good makeshift weapon, he ran as fast as he could toward his own camp, all the while glancing back at that strange island of trees surrounded by dead, withered grass. But nothing emerged from it. Arriving at his tent, out of breath and agitated, he packed up his belongings as quickly as possible, then carried his bike up a small hill and back onto the dirt path. Waiting not one moment longer, he cycled hard and fast, hoping to put as much distance between himself and that place, and its unseen resident, before finding somewhere safer and more welcoming to camp. The road was now nothing but a single track of mud, which covered Robert in a shower of dirt every time his bike sloshed through an uneven depression on the ground. The weather was bitter, unusually so at that time of year, and the rain, accompanied now by a freezing wind, battered his face, making each foot of distance traveled feel like 100. He tried to continue for as long as he could, hoping to leave the necessity of making camp until the last usable ray of sunlight. But after a couple of hours, the skies opened further and the rain came down in sheets. He had to find shelter, and quick. Concluding that he had put at least 15 or so miles of winding, difficult track between himself and that bizarre coven of trees. Regardless of whether it felt enough or not, it was simply impossible to continue due to the elements. On the left-hand side of the path, there was a rather steep drop which led down into a large field, but it would not provide the shelter Robert knew he required. To his right was a humble gradient of grass which rose up into a large stretch of woodland. Following his strange experience from earlier, some hesitancy did present itself to him, but the horrendous weather soon increased the motivation for shelter, and after pulling his bike up through the grass, he entered the tree line. The torrential rain filtered through the tree canopy, and it took a while before Robert could locate a suitable spot to camp. Finding a large bush under several tightly knit fir trees, he pitched his tent there, and then, as the area remained relatively protected from the storm outside in the open, using some dried roots, grass, and twigs from the forest floor, he was able to start a small campfire, which allowed him to cook some food while raising his spirits. Night began to close in, and as the wind and rain diminished, the sound of sausages sizzling in a frying pan on the fire provided the first sense of well-being and comfort that he had experienced since the morning. Thinking over his experience in the woods, he began to rationalize the events. He had found various belongings in there, a sleeping bag, clothes, fruit, and beer cans. It was obvious now that he had just disturbed a fellow camper. Someone who no doubt became frightened, seeing another human being wandering around the campsite in the middle of nowhere. That must have been it. The man, and he was reasonably sure it was a man from the little he had seen of him, probably hid behind that tree because he was simply scared or unnerved. Robert relaxed into a sigh of relief, but just as he did so, he slipped his hand into his jacket pocket. Touching its cold black surface, he had completely forgotten about the unusual stone he had picked up from that collection of oddly arranged rocks. Removing it from his jacket pocket and observing it in the low red light of the campfire, Robert was certain that it had been shaped by human hands. It felt old, ancient even, but he would wait to contact his archaeologist friend before getting his hopes up too much. He would have to admit, though, that the idea of finding a relic from the past was something which thrilled him deeply. Since he was a child, he had always obsessed by hidden or undiscovered history, which perhaps explained his fascination with exploring the Scottish countryside, a land steeped in stories and myths of strange and forgotten peoples. Above all else, he hoped that it was of Pictish origin, that mysterious indigenous people who vanished without a trace over 1,000 years ago, something which historians still pondered and puzzled over. Of course, in all probability, it was a modern replica, but the romantic side of Robert's personality hoped that it was so much more, and enjoyed entertaining that hope. As he stared at the relic, something unusual began to filter into his awareness, something different. Above the crackling sound of the fire, the now subtle wind, and the occasional rustle of a woodland animal nearby, came a noise. It was distant. How far, Robert could not tell, but it echoed through the ridges and valleys nearby, scattering through the trees in the dark. It repeated again and again, with only a moment's pause between utterances, and it was an utterance of some description. An animal, perhaps? Robert could not identify it, despite his impressive knowledge of the local wildlife. The sound possessed strange characteristics of a creature unknown to him. In some ways, it was reminiscent of a bird of prey, parts high-pitched and shrieking, but under this lay a painful, wretched noise more akin to that of a fox crying in the night looking for its young. That was it exactly. It sounded like it was looking for something. For the next 3 hours, Robert lay awake, listening to the screeching noise ebb and flow as whatever was producing it moved closer, then farther away. As he eventually drifted towards sleep, the thought occurred to him that the movement of the sound was not unlike that of a search party, yelling and shouting, looking for someone lost in the wilderness, following a distinct search pattern. In the cold light of day, the noise was gone, and while he had accepted that what had scared him the day before was simply a timid camper, cautious of a nearby stranger, he could still not shake a feeling of impending dread deep from the pit of his stomach. The day passed quickly, and while he made good progress, he did not do so with the delight he had previously felt. Something toxic lay in his mind, just outside of his awareness, something which suffocated his spirits. That night again he camped in a clearing, and yet again that same horrible shriek came out across the wilderness, looking for something lost, something precious, shrieking with one subtle difference from the night before. It was closer. Sleep did not come easy once more, and Robert fancied that during the night he had heard footsteps nearby, but attributed these to the simple nocturnal wanderings of a lonely deer or stag. While the following day remained overcast and gray, the wind and rain were gone, both a distant memory, but for the occasional accumulation of water on the dirt track. Robert cycled onward, negotiating a network of paths, while realizing that he had strayed from his intended route at some juncture. Despite this, he was confident he knew where he was, and this unanticipated change would simply be a small detour and nothing more. At times, he made great progress when the ground was even enough, stopping occasionally to take in a variety of delving valleys and rising peaks. Uncharacteristically, however, he kept his distance as much as he could from the woods and forest which often accompanied the road. While dismissing it as merely his imagination, at times he felt like there was something within them, peering out from the dark, watching. It was late afternoon, and he was beginning to feel tired, probably most due to a restless night, combined with the unrelenting pace he had set himself throughout the day. In the back of his mind, he was still running from something, fleeing an unseen, ominous threat. The path he had been on for the past couple of hours had been rather predictable for the most part, but now it curved sharply around a grassy hill to reveal a change in the landscape which had been previously hidden from view. A long stretch of dirt, an uneven track, penetrated a thick forest of fir trees. What Robert found interesting about the path was that it was unnaturally straight, and what he found oddly frightening about it was that it was so narrow, only a couple of feet across. Both sides of the forest only an arm's length apart. This proximity provoked deep feelings of overexposure and claustrophobia. If he had been a soldier in a war zone, Robert would have highlighted this long, narrow path as the perfect place for an ambush. Standing with his mountain bike only a few feet from the beginning of both forest and track, he felt uneasy about the current situation. It was clear that the path was the only way forward, and while it appeared as though it exited the forest a few miles from his position, there was something inherently dubious about it. What? He could not tell, but he did feel that he did not wish to traverse it. Weighing the pros and cons, he realized that both the way he came and the unknown land ahead provoked trepidation in him. For that reason, he dismissed the sense of dread as a figment of his overactive imagination, and with measured movement, slowly set off down the long, straight track, hoping to quickly pass in and out of the forest without incident. A black cloud hovered above, and as Robert negotiated the overly uneven path as quickly as he could, the feeling of foreboding, which he had so nonchalantly dismissed, began to ferment in his stomach, rising up through his body, forcing the hairs on his arm to stand on end. He kept his head down for the most part, occasionally glancing ahead at what he assumed was his exit in the distance. He just wanted to be through and out of that place as quickly as possible, the trees closing in on either side creating a suffocating atmosphere. Just over halfway down the path, an unnerving and unwelcome familiarity overtook him, a sensation which had accompanied him for days, but now seemed to be sharper, grating more profoundly on his nerves, filled his every thought, the feeling of being watched. Stopping for a moment to catch his breath, he tried, as best he could, to shake the immovable sensation that he was not alone. The path stretched out ahead, and as is common amongst those who attempt to reach a goal or threshold, without thinking, he looked back to measure his own progress. He had managed to cover a substantial amount of the track's length, and was quite confident that in a short time he would escape the narrow stretch of dirt. But just as he turned to continue onward, something caught his eye farther down the path in front of him. He immediately wished that he had not taken the route he had chosen, that he turned back and started homeward. It was there, unmistakable, unwavering, and utterly paralyzing. Some distance away in the direction he was heading stood a figure. He could not entirely make out the discrete features of the individual because they were standing to the side of the path between a cluster of trees, covered in shadow, but it was there, no doubt, and was certainly a product of his imagination. Someone was standing there, watching, and while Robert was a distance away, it felt to him as though the figure's presence was almost on top of him. Its stare, accompanied by an uncommon, potent sense of, well, malice was the best way that Robert could describe it to himself. Then it was gone, disappearing back into the forest. But the feeling of danger,